You're listening to the TrekMate Family Network.
The Battle Bridge is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com.
Worf, Solus, Sue, report to the Battle Bridge. I'll join you in a moment.
Ensign, secure connector levels.
Crusher, Carteno, Gleason, report to the Battle Bridge.
Mr. Data, Mr. Worf, I have a special mission for you.
Note in ship's log that at this start time, I'm transferring command to the Battle Bridge.
You're listening to The Battle Bridge, a TNG podcast where we discuss the episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation. Sometimes, even once a month. I'm Lou from Nebraska.
I'm James from London.
And with us tonight is someone... Did I hear that? And with us tonight is someone you haven't heard from in quite a long time.
Hello, this is Mark from London.
You're both in London?
Yes. We had this discussion last week, and we're actually quite far away from each other, probably.
I lived in Hampshire until August 2019, then I moved to London because I was getting married. So yeah, I've lived in London for two and a bit years. Although I worked in London for quite a few years. So yeah, I'm quite far from James. So I'm in Fulham. You're in Watford.
Yeah, so I really don't like to say the words out loud because technically we are just outside London metropolitan area, which puts us outside of the O2O telephone number and also the ability to vote for the Mayor of London. It is something that keeps me up at night, and I would really much rather be 300 meters down the road on the right side of the fence. So say it quietly, but we're technically in Hertfordshire.
I'm very much in London, in West London, so yeah.
Unfortunately, this is what happens to you when you have when you have five kids and you don't have £7.5 million to spend on property.
Yes.
No kidding. Well, I mean, remember long time ago you said you could pretty much go from top to bottom of England in what, 3 hours or something? So
that's not true.
More than that. No.
Something like that. You know what it takes us to get through five states.
But it's about 10 hours. Yeah.
There you go. Not even five states then.
No, weirdly enough, I actually drove up north, what I consider north at least, this last weekend. I drove 4 hours to Manchester. I don't know why. I mean, I do know why. We're looking for universities, took the kids up. But yeah, it's a little bit more than 3 hours top to bottom. But you can probably get to the top of England in like six.
About 7 hours.
Yeah.
I grew up in Northumberland, so yeah, it's about 7 hours.
Okay, well, we're about to roll, and I think I forgot to mention that tonight's episode was Genesis.
Genesis? Yes, Genesis. How can you be deaf with ears like that?
Genesis allowed is not, is planet forbidden.
I'm totally off on what our script used to be. I don't know why I'm having this brain fart right now. But anyway, let's just roll with it. So, thank you, Mark, for coming on. So tonight's synopsis is Enterprise crew members de-evolve into prehistoric creatures after a medical treatment by the ever-incompetent Dr. Crusher goes wrong.
It doesn't say ever-incompetent.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Treatment by Dr. Crusher goes wrong, comma, as they inevitably do. This is the 19th episode of Star Trek The Next Generation on Season 7. We're almost done. Should have been done 3 years ago. It was written by Brannon Braga, directed by Gates McFadden. Now that explains it all. I don't think there's any guest stars.
So Reg is a guest star. Nurse Agal is a guest star. These people must be guest stars.
That's true. Patty Yasutaki as Alyssa Ogawa and Dwight Schultz as Lieutenant Barclay. Co-starring Carlos Fierro as Ensign Dern. Is he the one that dies at Khan?
I think he's the guy that gets eaten.
Oh, he gets eaten. Okay. And then, of course, Majel Barrett as the voice of the computer. So, what do we think of this episode? Mark, what's your...
This is a ridiculous episode. It's completely preposterous, but I don't hate it. I kind of have a bit of a soft spot for this. I mean, the plot is just ridiculous, but it's kind of fun in a silly kind of way. I mean, season 7 of TNG really kind of does go downhill towards the end. It kind of loses its way very much before a spectacular finale. But this is, for a season 7 episode, this is kind of okay. I mean, it's silly. It's a little bit of silly fun, but the plot is absolutely ludicrous. But I don't hate it. There are far worse episodes.
Okay. I'll go next. I'm thinking just from the synopsis, what I was reading earlier, because quite frankly, I was forgetting what this was really about. So I went to the synopsis, of course, on Memory Alpha. And okay, so what I'm reading here now is my initial thoughts before I even watched the show. I took a Delta Flyers approach to this, where what do I remember and what did I think of it? And quite frankly, I couldn't remember a lot about it. I knew they were de-evolving, but what into? Not a clue. So I said, I thought it's going to be rather strange because I haven't seen it in such a long time. And but you know something? I don't expect much thrill out of it. I had a feeling it was just lame attempts to scare me. And that's kind of what I was going into the episode with. What about you, James?
Okay. There's nothing wrong with this episode whatsoever. I think it's good. I really do. It's better than last week's episode and the week before that. And it's better than next week's episode as well. Right?
What were the previous episodes, remind me?
Okay, so Eye of the Beholder yesterday. Last time, Eye of the Beholder, the guy that committed suicide in the warp core.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty crap. Yeah.
The one for that, Masks. Is it better than Masks? It's better than Masks, right? Everyone has to agree it's better than Masks. Next week is Journey's End.
I actually quite like Journey's End. I have a soft spot for that episode.
I don't know what's bad about this episode. I really don't. I watched this today.
I think the plot is ridiculous. I watched it the other day. I mean, I do know it reasonably well. I hadn't seen it in quite a few years, but yeah, I watched it, I don't know, 3 or 4 days ago, maybe. Yeah, I mean, it's the plot is ridiculous, but it's kind of fun.
Huh. Okay, let me... you have reminded me of something, Mark, which is that you mentioned that you were here for Timescape. Timescape is a very similar episode, right? In that you've got people that come back onto the Enterprise after like a weird happening. Now, at that point, they're frozen in time. At that point, there are people living inside an artificial singularity that's used to power the one room warp drive. I mean, and we're talking about this one being ridiculous. This is campy, right? It is a little bit silly. You've got people dressed up as, as apes, or at least Riker hasn't quite shaved for the day, and it is a little bit silly. But is it? You know, Timescape's considered to be a really good episode, and there are lots of good episodes that are silly. So I don't know where the hate for this one comes from. I quite like this. Now, having said this, let me just put the health warning on this, right, Lou? We're not doing this show as often as we would either like or we should be, which means that I haven't seen Star Trek since like December, like mid-December, which is when you then phone me and say, hey, let's do the show. I say, great, I'll watch some Trek. And I actually quite like TNG, so I'm always excited to watch TNG. So maybe what I'm just saying is that I like TNG and, you know, beggars can't be choosers. But this week I'm coming in with a real positive attitude.
Yeah, I was that way too. Yeah, I mean, I used to love TNG. It would go on car rides when I was delivering pizzas. You know, I used to love listening to episodes of TNG. Quite honestly, I kind of wish at the time, back in the late 80s, that we would have had some DS9 to listen to while I was delivering pizzas, but there was no such thing. Now, DS9 is the one I like to go to when I really want to get into a story. But anyway, Mark, you mentioned Journey's End, and I actually have you and Chris Johnson scheduled for that. So start thinking about when you can do it, okay?
Yeah, that's fine. I actually watched the episode the other day because it was next up. So I watched I watched this episode and I thought, oh, Journey's End, I quite like that one, and watched that. So, yeah, I'm good.
Me too. Okay.
Can I ask, does anyone else do this? So I don't actually have season 7 of TNG on Blu-ray for whatever reason. I've only got, I think, the first 5. So I've been watching, you know, the season 6 and season 7 on Netflix. So what I have a tendency to do is I have a tendency to settle down and to put on TNG at night and then wake up like halfway through season 1 of Deep Space Nine at the moment. I must have watched the back end of season 7 like over a dozen times over the last 3 months. Now, of course, they're not being watched. They're being watched, they're being played whilst I'm asleep. But if I go to my Netflix history, I've basically watched everything up to like, you know, halfway through the next the first season of DS9.
I don't do that because I don't like the light and the flickering light and so on. But actually, I gotta say, in the past, Voyager was my sleepy time episodes to watch. For some reason, I always got into watching Voyager, and then when I got too tired to keep watching, I shut it off and get done, and then finish or continue right where I left off the night before. But I haven't done that for a while.
In a tired state, TNG can take me out in minutes. It really can. I get into like it's calm, it's very familiar. I follow the stories with my eyes closed, and then I'm out. Okay. My wife, she finds it hilarious.
All right, well, we better go on, so let's see. Yeah, it's a busy day in sickbay, don't you think? Nurse Ogawa is pulling spikes out of Riker's back. Barclay is suffering from a Talarian death syndrome, or at least he thinks so. But actually, it's some kind of blood burn. I'm sorry, there was a tech talk, and I didn't try to write it all down. But Crusher diagnoses a problem in his K3 cells, which, hey, did you guys see that coming at all, the K3 cells?
What do you mean?
I'm kidding.
I didn't take this.
No. Huh? I don't take any of it, sir. Nah, I said she diagnosed a problem in his K3 cells. I didn't see that coming at all. But of course.
So, are you referring to a reference of K3, or are you just saying where the plot goes?
That's where the plot went. That's what she said. There's something in your K3 cells in which he gets all freaked out about. But don't worry. She can fix it. Oh! And the most important thing going on in sickbay at that particular moment in this opening scene was Spot, who has been a boy since we met him. I mean, even when he was handing him over to Worf, you must feed him and stroke him and tell him he's a good cat and give him feline supplement number 25. I actually went back and watched some of that to prove to myself Spot was a boy. But no.
Well, Spot was also about 3 different cats over the series, wasn't he?
That's true. But now we find out Spot is pregnant. Did no one on the ship bother to see if Spot was actually a boy? Not even Dr. Crusher?
So, why is the sickbay being used as a vet? Is there not a separate vet on the Enterprise?
I would imagine not, because isn't Data's cat really the only pet? But there are other species of animals.
Yeah, lots of other cats.
Hmm. Well, there's at least one other cat.
12. I remember what you get. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, just say there were other cats, yeah.
There were 12 males on the ship, not including the females.
6 of who are called Spot.
Yeah.
They've been cycled through Data's quarters over the last 3.5 years. So the first, I like the first scene, by the way. I have to say that my mind completely goes on to the fact that how the hell is Riker having personal relations with crew that are reporting into him? That seems like a bit of a no-no, especially when this person's is considered new, right? New enough to be news, yet Riker's already making the moves.
Good Lord, James, where have you been? Riker has been with just about every woman on that ship.
It's just that I have to do like a compliance training on a regular basis. I've just finished my 4th quarter compliance training.
Right.
You're not supposed to do this.
Yeah.
I explicitly signed a statement saying that I don't have relations with anyone that works or reports to me.
Right. And, however, HR is how many thousand light years away? So
I don't know. It feels like it's a poor excuse.
Well, that's not going to stop him, though. And Geordi. Well, Geordi never gets any. Riker does. Why doesn't Geordi hang out with Riker? Anyway.
But as a wingman.
Yeah, right. Just watch how he does it. Okay. So, Alyssa Ogawa, she makes the announcement that Spot's not the only one having kittens. So is she. wait a minute. Not kittens, but, you know. Now, when you saw this episode, you watch this episode, and Alyssa announces, she's not the only one having babies. Alyssa, isn't that great? Of course, she comes out of the maternity ward, so to speak, and announces that she's pregnant. Did you guys both all of a sudden felt a wave of sadness at the same time?
Because kids are a burden and they're going to take all your money. Please explain.
She loses the baby and all good things, doesn't she?
No, she does. You're right. And I just double checked there that so Brandon Braga wrote this episode, and I know that him and Rodney Moore write the final. And I was wondering whether or not whether or not those guys wanted just to kill this storyline, or whether this story has actually been implanted for for the sake of continuity. And so I wonder what they want to do. Whether they actually put this in here on purpose because they already had a good idea of what they were going to do in All Good Things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I just immediately got sad thinking about the fact that she's so excited and everyone's excited for her. I like Nurse Ogawa, and I don't like the fact that, they just, kill her baby off for no reason. But anyway. Okay, so let's see. The ship's wandering around through an asteroid field when I noticed something very strange. And I was going to load that up and send it to you, but Skype is so messed up, I can't figure out how to attach a picture so you guys could see it. So I'm going to try and figure it out. But I noticed there's two sets of rocks that look exactly like each other in that field. Kind of spotted it pretty quick, actually. I don't know if you guys had noticed
that. So what field? I'm confused.
There's an asteroid field, or the ship is
flowing
into rocks, is what I could tell. But yeah, there's something about that asteroid field. There's rocks that look the same. And that's odd, finding that in space.
Lou, asteroid fields, as depicted in science fiction, are much more dense than they are in real life. So you would never have an asteroid field itself. You would probably only see like two or so asteroids. That would
be, if you were lucky,
the equivalent of a field, not like thousands within the view screen.
Right. So okay. So it's time to run some tests on the tactical system and do some upgrading. I notice, Worf is just all giddy. I mean, did you notice Worf smiling when he was talking about these new enhancements? And then Riker's like, shoots him this dirty look like, if only you were that competent.
That's not fair.
Well, I mean, as it turns out, Riker was right, wasn't he? The results of his time to blow up something test. One rock got blown up to bits, and of course, like twin mirror dorns, the other rock is going to miss his twin brother. Guys get that reference?
No. But should Worf be the guy programming the, should he be doing programming the guidance system, right? Is that really his job, right? Is that part of the core competencies of the tactical officer?
I would say
it shouldn't. To be able to code it up and to put in all of the logistics of determining where the enemy is and how to react. To me, it feels like he should be much more of a higher level overview, making the decisions, quick reaction times. To me, that skill set doesn't necessarily overlap with someone competent to be able to write a routine to to quickly have the torpedoes detonate on the bad guys.
Well, I think you're probably right. He probably came up with the idea and then gave it to somebody to implement. And, of course, he's responsible for whatever happened. So when one rock blew up and the other one just drifted off into space, he's got to take the blame for it.
He should have staff to blame. That's where I think he's going wrong. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And about that torpedo flying off, why do they wait until it's out of range? We can't hit. Oh, sorry, it's out of phaser range. If only I thought of that about 3 seconds earlier. And then when they're gonna go get the damn thing, Data's like, "We're gonna be gone for several days. Several days? What is this? That torpedo driving at warp? What could possibly cost that much time to go get it?"
Okay, so at the end of the episode where they rendezvous and the Enterprise isn't there, they mention that the Enterprise is 2 light years away.
Mm-hmm.
And assuming that the shuttles don't have warp drive, which I'm still not entirely clear if they do, that means...
They do if the plot requires it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how it comes out. Cause, you know, I was looking at the data saying, okay, it's 2 light years away. You know, technically at Impulse, that's 8 years away. We're going to watch the entire run of Voyager for Data and Picard to get back to the Enterprise, by which everyone would have been descended into madness, and no doubt Worf would be ruling over everyone and after having eaten half the crew.
In 8 years, he would have eaten the entire crew by then, and you know, bit them all. Okay, I don't know, that kind of bothered me about... And then, you know, Data's like taking his sweet time, worried about what the cat's going to do and how to take care of the cat, and Barclay's all excited about that, you know. Yes, Barclay.
Something I forgot to do about with Barclay, right? I don't know if this existed back in the time when the episode was actually written, but... As far as I can tell, they did a really good job at predicting that, you know, Dr. Google would exist, right? Where you turn up a doctor and you say, "I've been Googling and I've got all of these symptoms." I mean, I think like 9 out of 10 people do that nowadays. And I don't know how common it would have been in the 90s to have kind of thought this far ahead.
Uh-uh. It wasn't. Absolutely not. Well, so maybe not. I mean, James, how old are you?
I'm 42 this year.
So you're 10 years under me, Mark?
I'm 47.
Okay, so you're not that far off there. But I remember...
Don't say that. But well, in five years, Mark will be a granddad. That's what he's telling us.
No, I mean, back in, you know, what we consider the internet, you got to remember, here in the States, there was America Online... And I think the first one that was even before that was Prodigy. And it was basically nothing more than bulletin board services. Your phone signs into another computer on AOL or Prodigy, and then you can go to other bulletin board services and read what they put down. You can ask questions. People will answer questions. The internet was nothing like it is today. Mm. That is definitely true. I remember going on those things very early on in Prodigy. Today, they all suck. But, you know, now we have our always-on internet, and all the information of the world is at our fingertips. So
I got internet in 94, I think. I think that's when I got internet. I do know this because I'm just checking when Voyager launched. So Voyager launched in 95, right at the beginning of 95. I used to download like post-it size stamps of the episode. So not the episode, the teasers that they put out on US TV. I used to download them, and I used to have like a collection of them. And for like the 30-second clip, it would take like 2.5 hours to download.
Yeah, sounds about right. Yeah.
Back in the day, I think I didn't have a 9.6 kilobit per second modem. I had a 14.4. I do remember that, and then I had to upgrade to 22.8, and then eventually, was it 56, I think it was?
The 56K modem, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I remember having the 14.4. That's when I jumped on board. But it would have been around the time of this episode.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I remember trying to download something that's, 5 megabytes, and it takes its sweet time, and you get to 97%. 98%, and all of a sudden you hear click.
Yeah.
Somebody got on the line, somebody got on the other phone, the connection dropped, and 5 megabyte file, you got to start all over again. Give it another hour.
Sorry, I'm being silly here because I'm sitting here thinking, 5 megabytes is about the right size for a high quality image there.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. Yeah, it's amazing. Okay, so Barclay's curious, who's the father? I'll start the bidding at Riker.
Oh,
yeah, with Crusher's help, of course. You want to mate with Spot. Let me see what I can do about that, Will. Anyway, no, I'm kidding. But Data says there's 12 males aboard. But is that including Spot? Because we don't know what he or she is. So I think it's kind of funny that, even back then, Spot changed his gender. That was the start of it all, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, Worf's getting a little anxious. He needs a break. So Deanna joins him in 10 forward, where Worf is absolutely pulverizing this dead animal. Was that getting gross or what?
It's like a giant octopus he's eating, isn't it? It's got octopus on it. It's got all sorts of stuff there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she complains that the air is dry, it's starting to get cold, Worf just belches out, and then all of a sudden, one of Guinan's lackeys comes by, and he's like, as he's watching her. Looks like Worf is in heat. As it turns out, he was.
It's strange. I mean, the two characters that we know and love, right, and we're most familiar with, they change first. They had the first to go. Actually, and also what? Also, Barclay, right? He changes first. Now, I have to say, one thing I don't like about this episode, or I find it it's a little bit convenient, and I don't think it makes a huge amount of sense, which is that the characters begin to display characteristics of what they're eventually going to become, mm-hmm. and that doesn't make sense, right? The fact that Barclay is full of energy, very nervously running around the place. Worf, he wants it to be cold as he wants it to be hot, and vice versa for Troy and wants in the water. If you're on your way to becoming an amphibian, I don't think you want to be drinking water. I just don't feel like that's not the first check, right? Are you thirsty? Tick. Well, you're on your way to becoming an amphibian. I don't buy that.
Okay. Well, here's something I don't buy, and I'd like the writers to explain it to me. Why is every human on the ship de-evolving to a different creature? It makes no sense.
No. That's fine. I don't think there's any problem with that. So what they're doing is that they're... if you look at the entirety of the evolutionary line on Earth, and actually one other point with Troy, in this episode, they have no desire to think of Troy as anything other than human, right? I think she gets referred to as human once, and there's no suggestion that there's any betazoid interaction or anything like that. So if you trace back the DNA and where all of the species started from and how they split, all that they are really saying is that somewhere along that tree, along that lineage, they are resetting you to some type of common ancestor. Now, I don't think the common ancestor that we share with spiders is like a human-sized spider. That's clearly ridiculous. And, it might be a bit more reasonable where the direction that Riker heads in. But all that they're saying is that at some point in the past, on this tree, you will have shared you know, something with these people. And
there's some DNA there. There's some DNA there that is shared. If you go back far enough, although you'd have to go back quite a long way to find sort of a common ancestor between humans and spiders, but never mind.
And the point, and I know I'm not, you know, obviously not an expert in this, but at the point that we diverged from spiders, or, you know, our predecessors diverged, it's not necessarily the case that there would have been spider characteristics present. So it could have been that we split and then they split again, and then we split again, and we keep on splitting, and then they evolve the spider characteristics that we know and love, right? So there's no suggestion that if we go back, we share anything. The characteristics could have evolved later, you know, post the split.
Yeah.
Okay. What about Spot reverting to a lizard? A big lizard. Same thing? I mean, there has to be some kind of lizard in the cat evolution.
Well, the thing is, it couldn't have been that lizard, right? Because that lizard's a current species, and I don't know how old that species of lizard is.
It's an iguana, yeah.
Okay, how far back? I doubt iguanas go back billions of years, which is what they would have to do in order to share a common lineage with the mammals. But yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of creative license we give them, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. Everything about the show is creative license. That's what it's all about. That's why it's fiction. But one thing about Spot, though, when Spot was a cat, I noticed that Spot had a little collar around her neck, a pink collar around her neck that I have never seen Spot wear, whether it was a boy or a girl. And what I thought was very odd is when Spot reverted to the lizard, the collar grew. Because obviously the lizard's neck is way bigger than Spot's little tiny feline neck. The collar de-evolved into a much bigger collar? Or did somebody actually take the time and say, you know, Spot is getting bigger, we need to get a bigger collar on her? Why did they screw with the collar? Just to show us that is in fact Spot wearing the same collar that they made a point to show us earlier?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
it's for stupid people watching the show, right? It's that it comes back to the it comes back with Tapestry, right? Picard has hair, but in Nemesis, Picard doesn't have hair because people aren't going to recognize that this guy is Picard.
Because no one's ever seen a man lose his hair before.
It's inconceivable that could have happened in the same way that it's inconceivable. And maybe in this case it's slightly more reasonable that your cat turns into an iguana. But that's all they're doing it for. They might as well stick a badge on it that says, I am Spot.
Yeah, or maybe the busted collar laying on the ground because obviously the neck was too big and it broke the collar. That could have been a better way to do it.
Well, you're getting into the territory of the Incredible Hulk, right?
Yeah.
How does he change in and out of his clothes?
Well, we see how the Hulk changes out of his clothes, but... And that's another thing. How come with the shirt rips off? How come the pants don't? They just kind of like stretch and open. That's a different show. Let's just stop there. How about Worf destroying his bed to create this little Klingon pillow to sleep on the floor?
I don't know. I mean, stunned. Yeah, obviously reverted back to some kind of a desire to... the desire to kind of sleep somewhere. I imagine, I don't know, everyone has instincts about where it is safe to sleep, and for him it's obviously not safe to sleep on a bed, which probably makes sense. I mean, I think it's you have to have a certain amount of balance, right, to be comfortable to sleep high.
Sure.
And not not accidentally fall down during the night.
Well, I haven't done that for a long time, but I was thinking more like caveman, Klingon caveman, what he seemed to be reverting to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, close enough, yeah.
Yeah. And so then, let's see, Picard and Data search the ship, and they're hearing animal sounds, over 300 of them. So what are the other 700 people that are on board? Troy has turned into an amphibian. Riker's brain is getting smaller. Poor Riker. Getting smaller. And Spot had her kittens. However, the kittens were just fine. So, I think I've skipped over a lot. This, I don't know. Guys, help me out. What did I miss along the way? Because I can't believe I'm almost to the end here.
Okay, so it's strange that... So this episode suffers from something that other episodes suffer from, like the unnatural selection suffers from this. I think it does, in any case. Which is the solution here sounds like it's going to prevent things getting worse rather than it's going to revert things back to normal, right? So the idea is that, you know, something in the mother's body allows you to be insulated from disease and infection, which is legitimate, but that kind of like doesn't matter if you've already gone through the transformation. So it was not clear to me how they were going to like revert the process. Although it would protect you, it's not gonna rewind time. So that seemed like a, and also they do wrap this episode up relatively quickly, right?
They resolve this so quickly. It's one of the most ridiculous wrap-ups, really.
It's very, very quick. It's like, so do you reckon we could do this? Yeah, why not? And there we are. Now we're going to spend as much time. You know, there's less time.
The episode finishes.
So there's less time on the resolution than there is on the Riker, on the Crusher-Barclay conversation about how it's going to be named after him. It's almost the same length. This is a little bit... a little bit of a silly one.
Okay. You know, when you said that something about the mother that helps the newborn, that reminded me of something I saw a long time ago called Heart Prints. And if you were to do a Google search or maybe even a Facebook search for Heart Prints, there's a nice elaborate thing about how the mother, the fetus and the mother are symbiotic and how they repair each other. And it mentions that even if the mother has heart damage, the fetus can repair parts of the mother. And there's a line in here that is just so cool, and I'm going to read it to you. It says, "The baby helps repair the mother while the mother builds the baby." So, yeah, I suggest people, you know, take a look at this thing.
I think that sounds like that's come out of a TNG episode. I'm pretty sure that's not true.
No, it didn't have to come out of there.
Regenerate their mother.
No, science, this is what science believes in real life, is that the baby and the mother are symbiotic and repairing each other. So check it out, and it's called Heart Prints. Maybe it's wrong, but I think it's kind of cute.
It sounds wrong.
I don't know. We'll have to give it a look. So let's take out some of Nurse Ogawa's amniotic antibodies. Does that mean...
Did they ask her?
No, they didn't. Well, maybe when you sign up, you sign, you know, all those papers that you have to sign says that, you know, if we start reverting into a prehistoric thing, you agree to let us use your body to fix ourselves. Maybe that's part of the whole thing.
Well, there is something you did miss, Lou.
Yeah, I bet.
When Data and Picard are walking around on the ship, and Picard's, you know, they're being chased by the sort of Worf's Klingon caveman monster thing, and Picard starts to feel nervous, you know, because he's reverting into an earlier form, and then Data says to him, you know, I think you may evolve into a primate as well, something like a pygmy marmoset. How on earth would he know that? Just scans him with a tricorder. Yes, I believe you will be a pygmy marmoset, Captain. I mean, pygmy marmosets are very cute. I'd have liked to have seen that. But Picard would have gone from being, I don't know, however tall he is, say 6 foot tall, to being 6 inches tall.
It's also like one of the most belittling things you could say, right? It's like you can just about imagine de-evolving, you know, only slightly, like Riker's only a, he's like next in line on the evolutionary chain. But the idea of going back to like a pygmy, or I thought it was a little bit belittling, but he wouldn't know that, right? And the same way, the same thing happens with Crusher right at the beginning of the episode, when she says, "Oh, I can turn on this, you know, I can activate the dormant T cell," and it's like, "Boop," and that's it. I mean, as if that could somehow locate the correct T cell, and it's been programmed accordingly. I don't know what they're using there in terms of, you know, flipping the switch, but that seemed to be a lot less hard than I would imagine it would be in reality.
Yeah, even centuries hence. Yeah, I'm sure you can't just flip a button and go, "There you go, I've just reprogrammed your T cell or whatever it is." Yeah, we could have done with those guys these last couple of years, couldn't we?
And also, how far away is that from what Bashir's parents and Khan were after, right? You've got some defective DNA. Let's just flip around on some of these switches. It doesn't feel like it's a million miles away. I mean, it's one, but it's done in such a kind of like laid back way halfway through, you know, a medical exam that it seems to be part of their everyday day to day life. Although, of course, this time it comes with some horrendous consequences.
How did it spread? I mean, did Barclay breathe out this disease or whatever you call it?
It must have been airborne.
Yeah, it mutated the virus, right? Which then, I think that they switched something in Barclay, then mutated, which then the virus got, and then it went around, and then it did all of other stuff. Anyway, it doesn't matter. You don't have to think about these things.
Well, I mean, it's interesting that in 1994, Brennan Braga predicted COVID. So, I mean, it is essentially the same thing. Exactly. Well, sort of. It's still evolving from, you can't breathe on each other now, because it was...
Well, you never really should have done, to be fair. You never really should have been breathing on people, because that's how you spread all kinds of viruses. COVID's no different. He didn't predict COVID.
No, but it's kind of like it. There was a...
De-evolve into a pygmy marmoset. I'd pay good money for it. I'd be a rich man if I had.
You know, I was thinking while you said that, Picard should have a picture of one on his desk so that when people come in and say, "What's that?" He goes, "Oh, that's one of my ancestors."
Just an old family friend.
Yes. One of the more earliest Picards known to man. Okay, so... Anyway, now there was, if you ever, you guys over there, you're not going to watch or know of it, but we have a television show here called The Designated Survivor.
My stepson's watched it. I haven't watched it myself. My stepson has. He says it's really, really good.
It is really good.
My mom's been, I mean, I think it must be, it's been going for like half a decade or so, right? I think my mom was watching it at least 2 years ago, because we haven't been able to travel for 2 years. The last time I was over there, she was watching it. It's with Kiefer Sutherland, right?
Yes, he's exactly right.
Yeah, I've heard it's good, yeah.
And one of the things they have is they have to fight a virus that somebody's trying to release. And it's amazing, the episode, I don't know the name of the episode or anything about it, but they have a scientist who talks about how germs breed and how, you know, you get somebody on an airplane and it just remanufactures. If they've got something, it remanufactures in the air of the airplane and it just incubates everything and gets everybody. Now you got some people going from Chicago over to London, and you got somebody from Japan going from, it just starts spreading around until you have a pandemic that just takes the world out. And it's amazing because they wrote that, I think it was like 2 years before COVID ever started.
Mm.
So it's like there's some forward thinking.
No, but this isn't new. None of this is new.
No. It isn't.
So first of all, that's generally how viruses work, full stop. But in terms of like respiratory viruses, the Far East has been handling and been taking care of this stuff for decades, right? Mm. So, one of the reasons why, one of the reasons why, if you look at statistics and stuff out of either Japan or Korea or Hong Kong or other countries out there, they do so much better relative to what we've managed to do, is that this is very, very normal. This is part of their like day and day. The idea of wearing a mask in Japan when you go on public transport is is extremely common in the built up areas.
Yeah, especially if you have a cold, it's considered polite to wear a mask if you know you have that cold and you just don't infect others. And I think that will become increasingly common worldwide now. I mean, I still wear a mask in public. I go into the office 3 days a week now. I changed jobs back in August, and I go in 3 days a week. I work from home Tuesday, Wednesday. I still wear a mask in public transport. I still wear a mask in shops.
Yeah, we have to as well. I mean,
well,
you know,
we don't have to. We did by law. We don't have to anymore because our government's useless. But I still choose to.
Yeah, over here, you don't have to if you're out in public, restaurants, anything that you're not confined. But however, transportation, and since I do the Uber and Lyft thing, transportation is regulated by the CDC, and the CDC has determined that all forms of transportation here in the United States must have masks. So you get in an Uber, you get in a Lyft, you get in an airplane, you get in a train, a bus, you must have a mask. And of course, it pisses people off when I tell them it's required, and next thing you know, I see, oh, there's another one-star rating for me. How do you get around that? And the services are, well, there's nothing we can do about it. So you're forcing us to make somebody put on a mask, and when they give me a one-star rating for it, there's nothing you can do about it. It wasn't caused by you, it was caused by me. That sucks. So I cannot wait till we get out of this stupid mask bullshit. Okay, here, let me move my soapbox out of the way. There we go. There it is, it's gone. Okay, so Worf is crazy after Deanna's pheromone scent because he's trying to beat down sickbay. What do you think her pheromones contained? I thought maybe a little bit of her perfume. She probably, her pheromones are like half perfume, half chocolate, right?
Yes, that's right.
Probably
half chocolate sundae. Yeah. Half. I'm having a bit of a headache, kind of thing. Whatever that is. It would be surprising to me that. Do Data and Picard know that Worf and Troy are having a relationship at this point? Because it appears to be the case that
these guys are
at it, right? And I don't know how like common the knowledge is, but there is, you know, these guys are talking. Who are you know, Worf might be just be after his mate. Oh, you mean like, you know, Deanna? And it seems to be like, you know, more well known than I thought it.
Nope. Let me fix you on that one. It's because when they were in sickbay, Data was examining Troy, and he noticed the bite mark, and it's got Klingon DNA in there. And I think that kind of surprised Picard. I don't think they knew what was going on, but it was clear that Worf did bite her. Now Worf is trying to bust into this room. Obviously, he considers her his mate. I don't really think anybody knew about it.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but... And then what's Worf going to do when he catches Picard? You know, if he's been spraying her pheromones around. Is he going to mate with him? Or kill him?
Eat him.
Eat him?
Eat him.
Eat him. Yep, that's what I thought. Eat him. Yep. But, unfortunately, Worf gets knocked down. All right. So Data synthesizes a gas from Ogawa's pheromones and pumps it through the ventilation system. And like you guys said, it's just too easy. Everybody returns to normal too quickly. I would have liked to have seen a little more of Worf trying to attack as he's changing back. But, you know, I don't know. CGI might have been bad or not usable then.
So what you wanted a scene where the prehistoric Worf manages to grab Picard, who's reeking of Troy's pheromones, and then attempts to like mount him in the Jeffrey's tubes. Is that what you're after?
And there's
a euphemism, isn't it? Mount him in the Jeffrey's tube.
Him in the Jeffrey's tube. I mean, just to be clear on that.
No, yeah, absolutely. Either that or eat him, and just before he does, he starts to revert enough to where he's going, "My apologies, Captain." You know, I mean.
So, Mr. Worf, what happened under your last command? Well, I'm afraid I got the captain and I killed him and I ate him.
Well, either that or I got a little horny and the captain got in my way. I don't know. Okay. So, you're obviously going to make your 3:30 cutoff because I don't have anything more, really.
No, let's wrap up having a quick episode rather than a rambling, tangent-filled nonsense.
Good. Yes, I'll end it with, in a nutshell, Dr. Crusher once again displays what an incompetent doctor she really is. It's Picard and Data that have to come up with the solution to the mess that the doctor created.
And they come up with this solution, like we said earlier, in 30 seconds and just go, as James said, should we give this a go? Yeah, why not? Let's try that. Spray it around the ship, and like literally within minutes, everything's sorted. Genius.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised they didn't try a little anesthesine to knock everybody out first instead of having them chase him around the ship. But, okay, anyway. I guess I'm good, so to speak. So, okay.
I do quite like it when it ends and...
me too.
They're talking about Barclay's protomorphosis syndrome, and she said, you know, he was a spider, and then he's had a disease named after him, and says, yeah, I better clear my schedule for the rest of the week. Which is quite funny. I quite like that.
Uh-huh.
But a light little note to end the episode.
Yes. All right. Well, then, I guess it's time for our final thoughts and ratings on this one. On a scale of 1 to 5, with 1 being the worst and 5 being the best. Mark, you get to start us off again.
As I said at the beginning of the episode, this is one of those ridiculous Star Trek episodes. There are just so many plot holes and things you can pick at. But, you know, it's a decent bit of fun. It's a nice little bit of a distraction. I actually quite enjoyed it when I watched it the other night. I had a few... my wife was at her mother's for a few days with the kids and the dogs for half term, so I had the house to myself, so I got some beer and I had some pizza and I watched a bit of Star Trek, so I had quite a good time watching this. Mm-hmm. That being said, it's not an amazing episode, it's not awful. 3 stars? It's fine. You know, it's silly and it's ridiculous, it's not amazing, but it's not terrible. There are far worse episodes than this, so yeah, 3 stars.
Okay. I'll go next so James can tell us why it's 4 stars. So, I'm sorry. I don't like this one at all. I don't see it as a good romp, as you guys might call it. It's not fun. It's stupid. And it's not as bad as Masks, as James pointed out. So I did have to change my rating for tonight's episode because of that. I wasn't sure if I'd like it when I was going into it before I watched it, and I still don't. The idea that different people, all humans, to de-evolve into a species, none that I know of that we're even believed to be evolved from. So maybe I've learned something, and yes, we do have a spider in us somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah, we do. Everything's ultimately evolved from... You go back far enough from a single common ancestor, but the fact that they de-evolve at all is what I have issues with. Yeah. Whether it's into a spider or a lizard or anything else, the fact that Riker, okay, he at least de-evolved into an earlier form of a more primitive type of human. It's the fact that they de-evolve is, you know, where I have the problem.
Yeah.
So technically, humans don't either evolve or de-evolve, as in on an individual basis, right? It's like the population, the species evolves. So it's, you know, the points at which you have the opportunity to evolve when compared to, like, the previous copy is the point where you've, about 9 months before you pop out of your mum. You know, that's the point where you have this opportunity to evolve or de-evolve. Concept.
Yeah.
So it's when people talk about this like evolving, and I'm not going to turn into this, or I haven't come from that. It always kind of slightly misses the point. It's the system itself is the thing that is under that, you know, the selective pressure, not any one individual. Anyway.
Well, I guess I don't understand the whole evolution thing. I should probably study some more, because I used to wonder, if humans evolved from monkeys, why do we still have monkeys?
Well, we didn't evolve from monkeys. We have a common ancestor.
Okay. So that
But you are able to evolve from... You are able to split off, as in like a human species is able to split off from another species that carries on. So, you know, in many cases it doesn't happen because you would be having like a fight for the same resources. But there's no reason why, you know, if, for example, you find that one group of, you know, a bit like the African Indian elephant stuff, you know, if you have a species that has been split off geographically, and they then can take their own different paths. The evolving doesn't necessarily have to be everyone in that species gets upgraded. It's just that there is a set of characteristics, and then the set of characteristics that are better than the ones you had before, and eventually there's the threshold gets exceeded for what you'd be considered like a new species.
Yeah.
All right. But you don't have to kill the old guys. If the old guys are happy and they're doing their thing in their own place, they can carry on. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Well, I would just say there's been more science in the last 2 minutes than they have in this entire episode, or at least solid science.
Okay, good. Okay, so anyway, that's where I'm at. I don't necessarily know if I like it or not, really. I'm sorry, guys, I was coming at this with a 1. But then, you know, you mentioned masks, and I agree. So I'll go a 1.5, just to be nice. I can't quite give it a 2.
Ouch.
Is right. Ouch is right. It's happened. So, okay, James.
Okay, I don't like to be predictable, and I honestly thought that I don't think it is a 4. It probably isn't a 4 in complete fairness. I think that it is probably a 3 out of 5, because there's a lot of silliness there, and there's a lot of, you know, you have to shut off your brain for a lot of things. Although, having said that, right, look, you know, they are talking about, you know, dormant DNA, they are talking about, you know, people having... You know, they are dealing with scientific principles in a way, even if they're doing stupid stuff. It's not as if it's like, you know, magic tree or anything like that that is causing any of this. I'm torn between a 3 and a 4. But it's probably a bit too silly. It's a bit too similar to other episodes as well, and they wrap things up too quickly.
It is one of the most convenient quick wrap ups in all of Star Trek. It must be for such a complex issue, literally. Should we do this? Yeah, why not? Done. Brilliant.
I do have some positives though. So, we've got Reg. Reg is good. Mm-hmm. He's always, you know, he's not on for very
Reg
long.
Reg is always a win.
But Reg he's good.
Reg is always a win. Yeah.
You know, Nurse Ogawa is there, and she leads in it. Well, she at least takes over Crusher's role for the 80% of the episode, where we know that Crusher is the director. Or Gage McFadden is the director, so she does well. I like the fact that the crew and the guys on Star Trek, it's mature enough that you can effectively take out Crusher, Picard, and Data for a lot of the episode and have it kind of like hold together by, you know, the B staff. So whether it's Ogawa or whether it's the others, kind of like pulling their weight. That's all good. Just the stuff with Spot's silly, a lot of it's silly, but I honestly don't mind it. I see this episode like listed as like the worst episode of TNG, and it's not the worst episode of TNG.
No, not by a long way.
And I even, you know, on Memory Alpha, there's a link to someone that reckoned it was the worst. I went on to IMDb, not just to see what the consensus is, and it is ranked higher than last week's, the week before that, and next week's episode. It's ranked at a solid 7 or 7.1. So I'll give it 3. I find it to be, you know, consumable TNG that you can get through without much concern, but also it's not obviously not the best TNG out there.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. A kind of, as I said, it's a kind of beer and pizza episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is how I consumed it. It was fine. I watched
this while washing up. So it's Star Trek to wash up to.
Hmm. Washing up.
There's a quote.
Hmm? What's that, Mark? You cut out.
Oh, I said there's a quote. It's Star Trek to wash up to.
Gotcha. Yes. All right, guys. So then that's the end of this one.
Okay, so. Lou, just one final thing. Let me just mention, I think by the time we're going to probably put out the next... I mean, I don't know by the time we put out this episode, but certainly by the time we put out the next episode, Picard Season 2 is out, so everyone should rush and watch that, I imagine.
Wait a minute, Picard Season 2 is out now?
No, it's not out now. It's out in 2 weeks.
Early March? Yeah. March 3rd.
Mark, you saw Picard Season 1, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
It was alright.
Yeah, no. I agree. It wasn't great.
As long as
you're not a refusenik.
No. I'm quite looking forward to Season 2. You know, we've got John Delancey coming back, which is cool. You know, as for Discovery... Oh, it's been so long since I talked to you guys. Discovery Season 1 was kind of okay. Season 2 was bloody awful. Season 3 was kind of alright, actually. And then with Season 4, because you can't get it here, you've got to watch it on this live, on this crappy Pluto TV thing. I watched the first two episodes and then couldn't really be bothered to watch it live.
I haven't seen a minute of Season 4, just because of accessibility.
Yeah.
I've not watched it.
If I could be bothered, I'd go and download it illegally, but I can't really be bothered.
Mm.
Which kind of, like, tells you what I think about Star Trek these days. Like New Trek. I will watch Picard. You know,
it looks
potentially interesting with them going back in time to sort of modern day. I think it's 2024, 2025 in Los Angeles by the looks of it, and Borg Queen and alternate futures and all that. So, yeah. It's Trek.
Do you have Paramount Plus over there?
No.
Netflix?
No, it's used to be on Netflix, but then, like, you know, a day before it was due to be released, they obviously got into legal trouble. And if there's anything that completely kills the buzz, right, of it, it's like, you know, right at the 11th hour, and it's like, nah, you're not watching it, you're not getting it. And I don't know who...
I pissed a lot of people off in Europe, though.
Yeah, whose idea was this, to just pull the plug at the last minute? And I don't think it's doing spectacular numbers, and I don't think it's got a spectacular following in Europe, but just the idea that, you know, we're not even second class, we're like fourth class... citizens in terms of where we get it and how we access it. So
yeah, and the second largest, you know, the largest market outside the US, and that's how we're treated. So, and even if they did launch Paramount Plus, I'm not paying for another subscription service. I already pay for Netflix, Amazon Prime. I pay for Disney Plus, which is worth the money. I also pay for Apple TV. I'm not paying for Paramount TV as well, just to watch a bit of Trek.
Oh, okay.
It's not happening.
Okie dokie, then. I guess that's the end of this one. So, let me know when you're available, Mark.
Sorry?
Let me know when you're available for the Journey's End.
Yeah, I mean, this time slot, like Sunday evening, is generally fairly good. So, yeah, let me know.
Okay, then we'll get with you and Chris and see. So join us next time, all, as we review episode number 20 of Season 7. Journey's End, as we get close to our journey's end. So everyone, take care, and good night.
Good night, everyone.
Nighty-night.
Good night, everyone.
Okay, press the stop button, click.
Alright, good job.
I thought Journey's End was supposed to be death. Don't invoke that.
Death? What?
Journey's End.